Hello, welcome once again to the Successful Farming Podcast. I'm Jason Meeker, the host of the show. I'm also the executive producer of Successful Farming Television that airs on RFD TV. This week is part two of my interview with Guilherme Havache from Brazil. In this part of the interview, we've really dug in deep into the whole Operation Car Wash corruption scandal involving several Brazilian politicians and business leaders. So we'll get into that in just a moment. I just want to remind you to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, whichever podcasting app you use. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also log on to iTunes and give us some feedback. You can email us at the show by sending an email to podcast@agriculture.com. You can follow me on Twitter @JasonMeeker, and you can also follow Successful Farming @SuccessfulFarm on Twitter. So now, let's go back to my interview with Gui Havache from Brazil. Let's dive into car wash a little bit. Tell us, for people who are listening who might not even know what car wash is, give us a little bit of background and then talk about just the trying to clean up the mess.
Yeah, car wash is very... It's hard to speak as a Brazilian because, as in some, we're ashamed in the scale of the problem. But there's a good, I hope the half full way to see of the glass to see this is that we will improve the institutions. But summarizing or trying to explain what is car wash started 3 years ago. 2014, the name Car Wash, the federal police gave this name because the operation started in a car wash. It's a gas it was a gas station with a car wash, and they picked the name because there was this car wash. And in this gas station, one guy had an office, very small office in a gas station, but Alberto Youssef, this guy basically was buying and selling dollars.
Okay.
At least, apparently, but he was moving billions or a lot of money.
Right.
And it was something is going on and there's something wrong. So what they did, they went there, investigated, and they realized that a lot of the money, it was he was money laundering. It was like laundering the money for politicians, companies, and after they discovered that, they start following the money, and then they arrived in they discovered that executives from Petrobras, it's a huge oil company, actually the largest company in Brazil, and it's a really a big player, and those executives from the company were using the guy Youssef in the car wash to send money abroad and to launder the money. So, but then they arrived in Petrobras and start to investigate Petrobras, and the police did their job. And they discovered that the money from Petrobras was also coming from other companies.
Okay.
Like the largest, some Odebrecht, for example, one of the largest builders in Brazil, actually in the world. They are very big. So what they were doing, they were paying executives at Petrobras to buy refineries or supplements, I mean, to buy stuff in a price that shouldn't be.
Okay.
For example, they bought a refinery in Pasadena, here, Texas.
Okay.
And they paid something like $360 million. 1 year before, the same refinery was bought for $42 million.
Okay.
So those guys were making money selling stuff overpriced. And then the police went to the companies that were building and paying Petrobras. And the company said, you know what? There's a way for me to avoid incarceration. We can do an agreement.
Okay.
And I can tell you more.
Yeah, kind of a state's evidence is what we call it here.
And then the police start to put the piece together and realizing that it was a bigger operation.
Okay.
But the politicians start to be involved in this conversation in this scheme. What the politicians did, and let me jump for Sergio Moro. Sergio Moro is a judge.
Okay.
And now he's a celebrity in Brazil. Everybody knows him because since the beginning, he's the judge authorizing and giving all he's very strong headed and he fighting all the politicians, everybody, to keep the operation, to keep car wash going on.
Okay.
So it's an important character in all the story because he kept the operation together. But going back to the politicians, then Odebrecht said, okay, we can do an agreement, and so I don't need to go to jail or something something like that. And they did this agreement, and what came up is that the Odebrecht, for example, were paying billions when you put together to local to the federal government and. Not the federal government, sorry, to the politicians that were racing for public position, jobs. So the parties were involved in the scheme also receiving money, part of the money also, or they could receive money for campaigns.
Okay, so to kind of summarize where we're at so far, it just was discovered widespread corruption and collusion and price fixing between... This Petrobras
state companies, private companies,
politicians,
and in a, we're not talking about millions, we're talking about billions
with a B.
Huge check.
Right. Okay. So what's the situation then today? We've had some arrests.
Yeah, the thing is, Sergio Moro sent arrested more than 1,000 people for the last 3 years. 100 are already convicted, and actually the police discovered a lot of stuff from the conversations and all the deals they are doing, but there's a political side of this because. Petrobras, Odebrecht, they are the main employers in the country.
Okay.
So lots of people. We are talking about thousands of jobs.
Yeah, so it's very important to the overall economy of Brazil.
And the economy wasn't going very well when Dilma was elected, or last president was elected. Democratically, and everybody was going on in a... she was elected because Lula appointed her, and then second time, she got re-elected, but it was very expensive for re-election because her economic team somehow kept the prices low artificially.
Okay.
Like... gas prices, electricity bills, all that stuff, and giving incentives to companies that weren't artificially produced and they weren't sustainable. But they were good for election.
Right.
But as soon as the election finished, the results in the real economy started to show. And add to that, Petrobras and Odebrecht and all the small companies that are connected to those companies going... In a really bad place.
Okay.
So, the mood was bad, the economy was bad, and Some would say we needed a scapegoat, mm-hmm. and we got one.
Okay.
She was the scapegoat.
Right.
So she was under the accusation that she was receiving money during the elections, like the car wash showed to be elected. The Congress and Senate and voted for an impeachment.
Okay.
And I don't know how much it's fair to say that, because she was thrown out of the presidency before she was convicted.
Gotcha.
But okay. The thing is, she's not the president anymore. And Michel Temer, the vice president, got the job.
Okay.
And everything was going well, political discussions apart. From an economic perspective, what he did put a very orthodox team in the government, guys that the market trust.
Okay.
And they already were in the government in the past, so the market were very happy. And stocks went up. And thing like last year, if you put $100 in Brazilian stocks, in 1 year, you would have got like 39% valorization, or 39% of the value of stocks going up in 1 year.
Okay. It's like, so, yeah, that's rapid growth.
Depending on which stock, one stock got like 500% valuation. Okay. We're up in 1 year, 500%. So the economy was going very well. And I actually, car wash is still going on. They're arresting people. But something new came up. Nobody knew, or at least
most of
the public opinion didn't know that JBS is the largest meat processing company by sales in the world.
Okay.
It's a Brazilian company. They bought Swift in 2007. And JBS, it's public traded, but owned or controlled by the Batista family.
Okay.
And the Batista family, when they saw what was going on with car wash and the federal police operations and Sergio Moro, they said, they went first to the justice and said, we did something wrong and we want to do a deal.
Okay.
And I can deliver you the president of the country, Michel Temer, at least. And then they did an agreement.
Okay.
And one thing that Joesley Batista, the president the CEO of the company,
JBS.
Did.
Mm-hmm.
He arranged a meeting with Michel Temer, the president, the president of Brazil,
right.
In a house from Michel Temer, but out of the schedule during the night, and he taped all the meeting.
Okay.
During the meeting, he said that he was paying for Eduardo Cunha. Eduardo Cunha was an ally from Michel Temer, was arrested, connected to car wash, and he's in jail. And he said, oh, I'm paying Eduardo Cunha to keep him quiet and all that stuff. And Michel Temer apparently agreed, or at least didn't denounce the scheme to the authorities. So, and the tape went public, and then the stocks went down, and it's all this turmoil. And right now, a lot of people don't believe Michel Temer has the authority, or at least the moral authority,
mm-hmm.
to keep being the president of Brazil. And some even say that he's done. He will leave in someday, but hard to say. And he's trying to stay as much as he can.
Okay. So what do the general population of Brazil are they angry about this? Are they mad at the politicians?
Very angry. Yes. Very angry. But there's one component here that is different. When Dilma was impeached, people went to the streets to protest.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were like hitting pans and all that stuff. But it was different because it seemed by that time that just one party was corrupt or doing the wrong thing. By this point, with Michel Temer or like JBS, when they did the deal, they delivered a list with 10,000 politicians were in the payroll. Sorry, not 10,000, 4,000 politicians.
Okay, 4,000.
Almost 4,000 in the payroll. I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's more clear now that it's not one party, nor one politician, and it's spread.
It's very widespread.
Widespread. And so it's hard to organize the movements to go to streets and protest. Everybody's upset, but it's even hard. We do have some manifestations on streets, on city, people asking for new elections, for example. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do a new election, and you need to vote, move the Congress, and PMDB, the party that supports Michel Temer is part, is the largest party. So they are trying to, I mean, everybody upset, but no solution short sight.
Okay.
Short term.
All right. So it's still a big mess.
It is, basically.
Yeah. So that's hurting most of the economy in Brazil.
But there's one side to that.
Okay.
Or a different side. That's as the stocks are down again, or at least downward. But we have strong institutions.
Okay.
We have all those problems, all these discussions and again, it's not easy. It is our country and all that stuff. But we still have a democracy. Mm-hmm. We still have a judiciary working and all the powers in place. I mean, nobody's asking for a dictatorship or something. We're not going more for the left as other countries are doing. Mm-hmm. We are keeping the pace and the institutions are surviving.
Okay.
So this is a good thing. Other good thing, it's hard now, but after all this information or revelations pass, we'll be a more transparent place. Okay. We'll have better institutions and better politicians, or at least that's what I hope.
The public will demand more transparency.
It's like the... maybe we're learning in the hard way,
right?
But in the end, we'll be better.
Thanks once again to Guy Vache for coming up to the United States and sitting down to talk to me for a little while about Brazil, and also mostly for this episode anyway, about the Operation Car Wash investigation. A few updates regarding Operation Car Wash. This interview that you just heard was recorded on June 14th, so about a month ago. Since then, there's been a few developments. On June 26th, Brazil's Attorney General formally accused President Michel Temer of corruption. The accusation alleges that at some point between March and April, he took a bribe of around $150,000 that was offered to him by the Batista family that Guy had mentioned in the interview, that they were involved in the JBS meatpacking plant. And so the audio recording that the Batista family said they had has led to formal corruption accusations. So at this point, the Congress, the lower Congress of Brazil, will vote to decide whether or not the accusation has merit, and if so, President Temer will have to step down for 180 days while they conduct a trial. So that was on June 26th. On July 6th, federal police announced that they were shutting down the primary investigation task force, and the investigation is now being folded into an existing division of the police force that's responsible for investigations into corruption. Critics of this action raise concerns that the authorities are trying to undermine the Operation Car Wash probe and making it more difficult for prosecutors by increasing their workload, by having them not be able to focus just on Operation Car Wash, but having to focus on all corruption allegations throughout the system. And then just today, I'm recording this on July 12th, just today, Judge Sergio Moro, who Guy mentioned, has become kind of a celebrity in Brazil. He today sentenced former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, known as Lula, sentenced to 9.5 years in prison for corruption and money laundering. So we'll keep an eye on this story because I'm sure there'll be more developments. So stay tuned and keep your browser pointed to agriculture.com and follow us on Twitter. We'll tweet out updates that we hear from time to time regarding Operation Car Wash and the ongoing investigation. You can follow me at Jason Meeker, and you can follow Successful Farming at Successful Farm. You can also email the show by emailing podcast@agriculture.com for comments and questions, or if you have any suggestions about the show. Make sure you subscribe. Visit us on the website. It's agriculture.com/podcast. And leave us some comments and a rating, a star rating, preferably 5-star rating, for the show on iTunes. So thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this show, and we'll see you next time.